We're going to move on to the next agenda item. Elizabeth River Crossing. Mr. Johnson. Morning, Mike.
Morning, sir. Morning, members of the commission. Elizabeth River Crossing Bofco LLC is requesting authorization to install a new Midtown Tunnel under 2,860 linear feet of state-owned subaqueous bottom as part of the project of the Downtown Tunnel, Midtown Tunnel, Martin Luther King Extension Project. This project will require the dredging of 1,278,354 cubic yards of state-owned subaqueous bottom, the placement of 737,715 cubic yards of fill, the installation of a 315 linear foot bulkhead, and backfilling 14,375 square feet of state-owned subaqueous bottom. The installation of three H-pile sheet pile support of excavation walls extending 138 linear feet, 335 linear feet, and 321 linear feet beyond mean low water. The installation of 50 temporary 36-inch steel piles along existing bulkhead pier, and the installation of three temporary 37-pile mooring dolphins, and the installation of three temporary piers encroaching over 38,680 square feet of state-owned subaqueous bottom along the Elizabeth River in the cities of Portsmouth and Norfolk. The project area is located in the Elizabeth River in southeastern Virginia between the cities of Norfolk and Portsmouth. Just to give you a little bit more background, Craney Island is located up here, and the Naval Base is located in this general area. A little closer look in, the project area, again, is in Elizabeth River, following the existing Midtown Tunnel between the cities of Portsmouth and Norfolk. Virginia Port Authority is located here. And just again, for a bit of reference, the Centaur Hospital Complex is located approximately here in Norfolk. A quick aerial shot showing the shorelines along the Elizabeth River and the existing Midtown Tunnel in yellow. I have a closer look here of the Portsmouth side of the project. Again, this is the Virginia Port Authority. This is the Highway 58 coming in and passing underneath the Elizabeth River. As you can see, the shoreline is hardened and industrialized. And the Norfolk side, with Hampton Boulevard, US 58 passing underneath the Elizabeth River here. Again, this shoreline is heavily industrialized and hardened as well. Here's some plan drawings showing the existing tunnel in yellow. North is kind of off to your upper right-hand corner. Unfortunately, I'll be changing back and forth a little bit, so that might get a little confusing, but I'll try and make sure I point out north all the time. Again, existing tunnels in yellow, and the shoreline I've outlined in black on these drawings. As I mentioned before, three supportive excavation walls will be installed. This is to protect the dredging areas from slumping from sediments surrounding the area. As you know, they'll probably be digging fairly deeply to install the tunnel, and this was the best course of action to prevent the slumping other than digging a larger hole and also protecting the existing Midtown Tunnel itself, where if it became uncovered from the loss of that sediment, it could damage the tunnel itself. In light blue, you see the limits of the dredging that will be performed in Elizabeth River. Again, this will be 1,278,354 cubic yards removed. This dredging will be done by mechanical methods, and the resulting dredge spoil will be disposed of offshore outside VMRC's jurisdiction. However, any contaminated sediments, primarily on the Portsmouth side, will be disposed of in an appropriate upland facility. Whenever possible in the dredging area, environmental buckets will be used. This differs from an open-faced bucket in the fact that they tend to close completely and try and prevent the loss of sediment and resuspension of turbidity. Here you can see one that's open, and then the result, after they've picked up a load, is closed off. The installation of the new tunnel itself will be to the northeast of the existing tunnel. As you can see here, it's curvilinear in fashion, and again, this is because they don't want to dredge too deeply too close to the existing tunnel to prevent damage to it. Over here, you see the placement of the 315 linear foot bulkhead, and this is to facilitate the addition of backfill into the area to create 0.33 acres of aqueous land to upland, and this is to support the installation of support facilities for the tunnel itself. In addition, 50 temporary steel piles, 36 inches in diameter, will be installed along the bulkhead for the Virginia Port Authority. The main purpose of these steel piles is to protect the bulkhead from damage when barges are parked alongside of it. And again, these are temporary and would be removed at the end of the project. The applicant is also proposing to install three temporary piers encroaching over 38,680 square feet of state-owned bottom. Two of the piers will be located on the Fort Smith side, just to the southwest of the existing tunnel, and the third will be placed on the Norfolk side. And these piers are meant for the loading and unloading equipment and transportation to and from the work area. In addition, three temporary mooring dolphins will be installed, one on the Fort Smith side near the Virginia Port Authority, and two others in the river on the Norfolk side of the Elizabeth River. And this will just be for the temporary mooring of vessels. And these, again, will be removed at the end of the project. The project also calls for the filling of with 737,515 cubic yards of fill. This is a backfill profile looking at the longitudinal cross-section of the tunnel, or the midline of the tunnel. This uneven line you see here is existing bottom, as it is today. After the project's finished, the profile will differ from what's existing now and will extend a little deeper through this federal channel and on the Norfolk side itself. The fill consists of the actual tunnel segments, which you see as these small squares, and I believe there's 13 of them. 11, thank you. In addition, there will be the placement of locking fill, which is basically almost like a mortar for these tunnel segments, the placement of ordinary fill, placement of light fill, as you can see in this pink, and the placement of an armor stone band to protect the tunnel itself from any ship interactions. Additionally, depicted on this picture, you'll see the backfill here. It's converting subaqueous bottom to uplands. This is a cross section through the federal channel of the Elizabeth River. This is the existing bottom now. This is what they'll dredge to for the installation of the tunnel itself. For the placement of the tunnel, there's a bed of There's a base material placed to support the tunnel itself. This is the tunnel segment. The locking fill is in light blue. It's a little hard to see in these drawings. And then ordinary fill placed on top of that. And then again, the armor stone to protect the tunnel from ship interactions. This is just an aerial view of the tunnel again, showing you the dredging limits in green. The placement of fill, the tunnel itself, which is in red, placement of fill, which is in blue and black, and then the placement of armor stone across the tunnel in the federal channel area. The MRC did a public review process late in the summer of 2011. Adjacent property owners were notified. Public advertisement in the Virginia Pilot was placed. Comments were requested from several state agencies. To date, no comments have been received from the public. DEQ has notified VMRC they are requiring a VWP individual permit for the project, and all their agencies have commented the project was acceptable or no comment was received. VIMS did supply comments to VMRC regarding the project. They have identified the Elizabeth River is being utilized by river herring and shad during their spawning migrations upriver, river herring, including alewife and blueback herring, and the shad complex, including hickory shad and American shad. Three of these species are currently under a fishing moratorium, and river herring may be listed as a federally threatened species later this year. So VIMS is recommending a time of year restriction for dredging activities from February 15th to June 15th to avoid impacting spawning runs and the increased turbidity due to mechanical dredging. Just to give you a little background information on the current on the dredging operations in the Elizabeth River, the applicant has divided the river itself into three dredging units. Dredging Unit 2 is located on the Portsmouth side of the Elizabeth River. Dredging Unit 3 is located in the middle of the river and includes the Federal Navigation Channel. And Dredging Unit 4 is located on the Norfolk side of the river. In response to Vince's comments, the applicant modeled turbidity data showing what the worst case scenario would be if an open-faced dredging bucket, not an environmental bucket, were being used to show what the increased turbidity levels in the river would be. There's a limitation to the model they provided to us in that it only looks at straight-line current flow. It does take into consideration sediment characteristics and water velocity, but doesn't take into consideration any kind of mixing that may occur laterally across the river due to shoreline geometries, such as eddies or gyres. Just to go ahead and point it out while I have this on the screen, there is a BPA oyster mitigation reef located here, and Scott's Creek Oyster Reef located here that I'll be talking about in a few minutes. According to their modeling data, with open-faced dredging on the Portsmouth side of the river, turbidity levels can be expected to increase 30 milligrams per liter immediately adjacent to the dredging operation, and then decreasing the further away you get from the dredging operation. I realize some of these numbers are hard to see. They don't project as well as I'd like them to. Within the federal channel itself, the model is indicating that there will be increases of 20 milligrams per liter of increased turbidity. This is primarily due to sediment characteristics within the federal channel, since this is a maintained channel and dredged routinely to maintain appropriate depths for shipping traffic. On the Norfolk side of the river, they're expecting turbidities in the immediate dredging vicinity to increase to 80 milligrams above ambient. Milligrams per liter above ambient. And this is, again, due to sediment characteristics on this side of the river. And again, these will taper off at the further you get away from the dredging operation itself. And in this picture, you can see a little bit better the VPA mitigation reef and Scott's Creek Oyster Reef here again. In light of the applicant's comments stating that this project has to follow a very set timeline in steps and how to install this tunnel, VIMS came up with a possible alternative where, if the commission feels that the time of year restrictions for all dredging isn't appropriate, then it is possible to possibly protect the resource while dredging during the time of year restriction window. This would require daily monitoring of turbidity, which could be helped to use for prevent dredging impacts upon spawning runs. Measurement of 50 NTUs above ambient could be used as a threshold to cease dredging activity in dredging units 2 and 4.
What's an NTU, Mike?
NTU is a nephelometer turbidity unit. It's basically a snapshot of turbidity, but it's not an actual measure of turbidity. They have to develop a relationship between what the nephelometer instrument is telling them and what the actual turbidity levels are. They are doing these measurements as part of DEQ's water quality monitoring plan that they have developed for them. So they're going to already be taking these measurements. It's not something else that we're requiring for them to start taking these measurements. Even with the recommendations of allowing dredging and fishing activity units 2 and 4 during the time of year restrictions, VIMS is still recommending the time of year restriction of February 15th to June 15th for dredging Unit 3, which is the federal channel located in the middle of the Elizabeth River. This is because this has been identified as the main corridor or Najmus fish passage up to the spawning reaches of the Elizabeth River, Lafayette River. And they consider this to be still resource protective. Just to give you a little background into the DEQ water quality monitoring stations, they In their plan, they are requiring water quality monitoring 500 feet upstream and downstream of the dredging work being done, and then collecting background information 5,000 feet upstream and downstream of the dredging activity. In discussions with VIMS, it was decided that they should add a couple more monitoring stations to look for turbidity levels, and those should work laterally across the river. So if they're working in Dredging Unit 3, we'd want to see a sampling station on the Norfolk side and on the Portsmouth side of the dredging operation as well to look for those turbidity levels. This is something that the applicant has already proposed to do within Dredging Unit 2, which is located on the Portsmouth side of the project. They have proposed putting up turbidity curtains around the dredging area. This is due to the presence of the oyster reefs I mentioned earlier, to try and protect them from being sedimentation, covering them over, and also the fact that sediments within Dredging Unit 2 have been identified as being contaminated with PAHs. They also propose to encircle the Virginia Port Authority oyster reef with turbidity curtains, which is immediately upstream of Dredging Unit 2, and you can see the corner of it right here. And they've also agreed to install turbidity curtains on the upstream side of Scotts Creek Oyster Reef as well, to try and protect the reef from sedimentation. Current traffic patterns between the city of Norfolk and Portsmouth are currently inadequate for the volume of traffic that currently utilizes the Midtown and Downtown Tunnel. In an effort to alleviate this condition, the Downtown-Midtown Martin Luther King Extension Project was designed. The installation of an additional tunnel as part of the Midtown Tunnel is a key facet to this project and will facilitate a larger volume of traffic between the two cities, resulting in decreased traffic congestion. Staff believes that the construction of an additional Midtown Tunnel is an appropriate use of state-owned subaqueous bottom and will result in an improvement in the traffic corridor across the Elizabeth River. The installation of temporary piers, mooring structures, placement of fill, and conversion of subaqueous bottom to uplands should not cause any long-term deleterious impacts to the local ecosystem. Virginia Institute of Marine Science have indicated, however, that dredging operations could impact the river herring spawning migrations in the Elizabeth River. As the most protective measure for this resource, VIMS has made the recommendation that there should be a time restriction for dredging operations from February 15th to June 15th. They have stated that if the Commission feels that a time restriction for all dredging operations would not be appropriate due to logistical considerations, then liberalizing the restriction to include only the Federal Channel part of the project could be unacceptable, with an appropriate monitoring response plan to prevent dredging plumes from the other dredging units impacting the entire width of the river during river herring spawning migrations. The applicant has responded that a time of year restriction would be a handicap to the project and result in delays and cost overruns. Accordingly, after evaluating the merits of the project, considering all the factors contained in 28.2-1205 of the Code of Virginia, staff recommends approval of the project with a permit expiration date of 2018. Additionally, a permit condition should be included requiring the use of sediment plume monitoring plan when dredging operations are occurring in Dredging Unit 3 during the time of year restriction period, which includes the Federal Navigation Channel, and requires the cessation of dredging operations in this area when turbidity levels exceed recommended values by the Virginia Department of Environmental Quality. This should allow the applicant to maintain their schedule with only minimal interruptions, but provide some level of protection for anadromous species that would otherwise would be migrating to the area. And I'll be glad to take any questions you might have.
Mike, has the applicant agreed to this turbidity monitoring plan?
Yes, sir, they have. There's a letter in your packets from the applicants, you know, stating the logistical considerations and their willingness to accept staff recommendation.
Thank you. Are there questions for staff? Yes, Mr. Plumley.
With regards to VIMS recommendations, they're suggesting that hydraulic dredging be used where feasible. Mm-hmm. Has that been discussed with the applicant when hydraulic dredging is appropriate, or if it is at all appropriate?
It was considered. Hydraulic dredging is routinely done for the Federal Channel itself to maintain the channel, but the applicant has indicated that the mechanical dredging is preferable for this project.
And is the applicant concerned with the time of year restrictions recommended by VIMS as well?
Yes, sir, they are.
And what's the applicant's response, as you understand it?
Applicant's response, it ends as complete time of year restriction for dredging operations is the fact that this the construction timeline is very set in terms of what needs to be done and what steps to facilitate the installation of this. They can't have large holes dug out just sitting there, you know, for 4 or 5 months out of the year. Materials tend to fill back into those holes, and they don't want the tunnel that's existing now to be uncovered because that could damage the existing tunnel.
Thank you, Mike. Mr. Palmer?
Mike, you said that when they took the dredge material out of there, some of it was going to go to an offshore site and some of it was going to go to an upland site, determining if it was contaminated. How are they going to determine when they get to the contaminated material?
They've already taken samples in the river looking for contaminated areas, and they identified areas in the shallow sediments of Dredge Unit 2 as being contaminated. And those would be taken by barge to Virginia Port Authority, offloaded, and transported to approved upland facility.
Thank you.
Mr. Robbins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mike, do we have any baseline information on the Alicene resources using that river, the Shadon River here?
DEMS did do some background research on that, and they did find sources. Virginia, the DEMS trawl survey, juvenile fish trawl surveys indicated that there were explosive fish utilizing that area, at least for passing through, and did find spawning populations upriver.
Thank you. Other questions, Mike? The applicant is present, I assume wishes to be heard. Will you have others that will be testifying with you? If you could all stand and be sworn at the same time, appreciate it. Thank you. Do solemnly swear the testimony you'll give today to be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the commission. My name is Miles Pachta. I'm here representing the applicant, which is Elizabeth River Crossings OPSCO LLC. I'm joined today by three other gentlemen, Mr. Fred Parkinson, who is with Parsons Brinkerhoff. Parsons Brinkerhoff is the lead engineer on this particular project, and also Wade Watson and Brian Ellis, who are with SKW, which is the contractor for this project, and they would be appropriate for engineering and construction related questions, and I in turn can address the environmental questions. Just in the way of background, and just to speak, and once again I'd like to thank Mr. Johnson and Mr. Watkinson for all of their efforts leading up to today. The downtown Midtown and Martin Luther King Extension Project is a vital link in the region's transportation network and is widely regarded as the number one priority in this region. Its need in the region is unparalleled, as the existing Midtown Tunnel is a 50-year-old facility that carries over 1 million vehicles a month. It is the most heavily traveled facility east of the Mississippi River. A second tunnel, in addition to the downtown tunnel improvements and the Martin Luther King extension, is critical to the region's economy, movement of goods and services, hurricane and storm evacuation, and overall quality of life. From an environmental perspective, the project has fulfilled all the necessary environmental requirements under the National Environmental Policy Act, or NEPA. On March 24, 2011, Federal Highway Administration and the Virginia Department of Transportation approved the environmental assessment, and then later Federal Highway Administration issued a finding of no significant impact, or FONSI, in August 1st of 2011. Meanwhile, the applicant, the engineer, contractor, and the agent have been working diligently to prepare a completed application which was submitted in July of last year. This application, which we understand is under consideration today, is also being reviewed jointly by the Army Corps of Engineers and the Department of Environmental Quality. And I would point out that the Army Corps of Engineers and the Department of Environmental Quality are scheduled to have draft permits for this project in April. As Mr. Johnson mentioned, there's been extensive coordination with the Virginia Institute of Marine Science, also with the commission staff. We've met with Mr. Johnson, also with Dr. Wesson and Mr. Watkinson. We've also had coordination with National Marine Fisheries Service, Mr. Dave O'Brien. And we work very closely with them to look at avoidance, minimization opportunities, ways to minimize some of the environmental impacts, particularly to some of the important resources. And as a result, we've adopted and included many design and construction modifications and numerous environmental safeguards that were mentioned already in Mr. Johnson's testimony. We've also included extensive water quality and water quality monitoring and a response plan during critical times of the year for anadromous fish, which we recognize as February 15th to June 15th. As a result, as Mr. Johnson has already mentioned, staff has recommended approval of the project with an expiration date of 2018 and with the pertinent conditions that were outlined in the Habitat Management Division evaluation, which is dated March 27, 2012, for the record. So in closing, we concur with staff recommendations, and we believe, based on the merits and the critical need for the project, that we urge the Commission today to grant approval for what is a critically important project for this region. At this time, I would ask if there are any questions on any of the environmental, engineering design, or construction-related matters.
Any questions for Mr. Poffitt?
Yes, sir, Mr. Plumley.
With regards to the time of year restrictions, if you could just articulate for the applicant what the concerns were with the suggested restrictions from them.
As Mr. Johnson had introduced, the time of year restrictions that were suggested by them initially were viewed as being a severe handicap to the construction and the logistics of constructing this project in a timely fashion. And because the schedule is set up as a sort of a linear fashion, that any disruption in that schedule would protract the overall dredging effort. It would make it very difficult and add tremendous expense onto the project. And so in consulting with our contractors who are here today who could possibly even speak more to that, it was felt that we could not adhere to that. However, we added on to the monitoring and response to include additional monitoring, particularly in dredging Unit 3, which is in the very middle of your graphic on here on this particular drawing. And by doing that additional monitoring and looking at that very closely for turbidity, we feel that we can closely watch that area and safeguard that area from any impacts to anadromous fish that would use that corridor.
Thank you.
Other questions, Mr. Tanker?
In the narrative, it states that you need it for the greater transportation issue. You talked in your dialogue about the tunnel being 50 years old. Will this tunnel be shut down, or will this tunnel continue in operation?
At this point, I think I'd like to turn it over to Mr.
Let us have your name for the record, please.
Certainly. My name is Wade Watson. I'm project director for SKW, which is a design-build contractor for the project. And I'm sorry, would you like to state your question?
The tunnel being 50 years old, I know there's some life expectancy to a tunnel. Is this tunnel going to be decommissioned, shut down, and all the traffic diverted into the new tunnel? Or will this be a project decommissioning the tunnel in the future, improving it, be something we'll see in the future?
Actually, the existing tunnels will not be decommissioned. The existing Midtown Tunnel will be refurbished and brought up to a higher standard for safety and longevity. And also the two downtown tunnels will also be refurbished under the same contract. So all three of the existing river crossings will stay intact.
Okay.
Thank you. Other questions? Seeing none, is there any opposition to the project? Mr. Best. Please come to the microphone. You're going to have to come to the microphone.
And introduce yourself again.
Tom Best. Just a question occurred to me. How many dredging seasons will there be?
If I could respond to that, there's about 9 to 10 months of dredging. So regardless of the timing, we should go through one season only.
Okay. Thank you.
It's, we're going to do 9 months of dredging in February.
There's about 9 to 10 months of total dredging time. So pretty much regardless of where that window shifts, we'll go through one time of year period. So you shouldn't extend it to two periods, but into one period.
They're recommending you only dredge from February to June?
No, no.
Recommendations is that we do not dredge during that period.
Any opposition to the project? Seeing none, the matter's before the commission. Mr. Tanker?
Move to approve Elizabeth River Crossing 11-116.
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Tanker to approve the project, seconded by Mr. Robbins. Comments on the motion? Mr. Robbins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As the applicant points out, this may be one of the most critically acute choke points within the region's transportation network. And so I think there's clearly a significant public interest in approving the project. Having said that, this commission in its responsibilities to manage marine resources should be concerned about the impacts to the anadromous species that have been highlighted by staff and by VIMS. River herring, for example, are in very bad shape. This commission has already approved a moratorium on the recreational or commercial harvest of that species, just to show how dire their plight is. So we should be concerned about that. I think what staff has done, though, to try to work out a compromise on this issue does take into account the practicability of any measures that would be imposed on the applicant during the course of trying to complete the project. And I think certainly that effort to reach a practical solution should serve the project well and try to mitigate the impacts to those species that are and should be of concern to this commission. But again, I think the public interest in this project is certainly compelling, so I'd speak in support of the motion.
Any further comments on the motion? Seeing none, ready to vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
Mr. Commissioner, I'm going to have to abstain. I've been thinking about this after I reread Mr. Grandis's memo in this file. While my firm has no affiliation with the applicant, I think there may be a related entity that we have an affiliation with, and I'd prefer to take out of an abundance of caution to abstain from the vote.
Okay. The record will note that Mr. Plumlee abstains from the motion. The chair votes aye. The motion carries with one abstention. Thank you.
Thank you all very much this morning.